Hey everybody, this is Jordan Rudess from Dream Theater and Liquid Tension Experiment, and you're listening to Alex Room Service.
All right, everybody, welcome to Alex Room Service. Yeah, if you're listening to this you'll notice that this episode is done in English. This is because I have been telling you I would like to do an interview with Jordan Rudess for some time, and today is the day. So after my special episode on Dream Theater last time, I would like to welcome Mr. Jordan Rudess to Alex Room Service.
Thank you for that nice welcome. Nice to be here with you this morning. Morning for me.
Morning for you and afternoon for me.
Nice.
So how are you doing it at your end?
Everything is good. I'm home for just a day or so. I've been in the middle of doing keyboard tracking for the new Dream Theater album. Mm-hmm. So it's been very intense. And now I drove home last night from the studio after finishing tracking one of the songs. And I'll relax a little bit at home and then I'll go back tomorrow.
All right. So could you tell me something about it? I just saw the picture on Instagram with you and John Petrucci.
You know, at this point, there's not really that much to report. Just because there's no, like, you know, nothing that it's too early in the process to really do a lot of sharing. But I can just say it's going really, really well. We got obviously a little bit of a jump start on the album, you know, due to not being on the road. You know, we were here and we could go in the studio. So we decided to get it going and really excited about it. It's just, you know, it's going to be really, really cool. Nobody is slowing down at all. Everybody's energy is full speed ahead. I feel like, you know, we're just smiling and making this really cool album. And I think the Dream Theater fans are going to be very joyous when they hear it.
Well, speaking for myself and probably most Dream Theater fans, I would like to say thank you for the Liquid Tension 3 album. I just got an advanced copy of it. And
oh, lucky you.
Yeah, lucky me. I had to nag the record company a bit. I wanted to listen to it before I talked to you. So, and they so thank you for that, Inside Out.
Awesome. It's great that you got it. Cool, man.
So so I got to hear it. And okay, so there are four prog rock Dream Theater songs on the album. There's one bass thingy that I can't really put my finger on. I love the piano and guitar song with you, John, Only the Shades of Soul.
Yeah, right. That's just the duo, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then the two things that stand out for me is the Liquid Evolution song.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I got a mental picture listening to that song. It's like an 80s TV theme song, Moonlighting or
interesting,
or something like that. That was the mental image I got.
Wow. Okay. That's cool. Yeah. I think that one was mostly kind of almost out of just jamming, you know, just finding some nice sounds and just kind of playing and then go, wow, we like this. This is cool. You know, Liquid Tension is always a combination of writing, you know, writing the music, composing, and also just kind of letting the spirits and the music flow in the room and just playing. And that's kind of what, you know, that's the beauty of it. That's what comes out. Obviously, the, you know, the main CD, the one they sent you, I don't think they sent you the jamming, the bonus thing yet. But that's, you know, that's pretty wild. That's just us all going crazy, just jamming, literally. But yeah, it's you know, after so many years, we got together again, and this kind of like magic, if you will, was able to happen.
Yeah, it's been 22 years since the last album. Are you a nostalgic kind of guy?
Not really. I wouldn't say so. You know, the concept of time and it's just so strange, maybe because of the you know, the world these days and everything. We walked into the studio, I felt like it was just, you know, a month went by or something like that. So, but it was great to get together with these guys after so long. You know, Portnoy was 11 years, and Tony Levin was 22 years since I worked with him in the studio. I worked with Tony a bit over the years on doing some other things with Marco Miniman, which was a really great project, the, you know, Levin Miniman Rudess stuff. So again, it was like we just had seen each other, but I didn't see him at all. That was all studio stuff in our own spaces.
The song that got me jumping out of my seat. I just read the title, Traps in Blue.
Yeah.
And I got to thinking, that's like a Gershwin tune. That's like Manhattan.
Woody right, Allen. Right.
And then it is that song. I thought it was an original song, and you do your own version of a Gershwin song. It must be the first metal version of a Gershwin song, at least the first one I've heard.
First one I heard of that. I haven't like done extensive research to see if anybody else has tried that. We did that song live when Liquid Tension played a few live shows years ago. And then, of course, it was Mike Portnoy who brought it up with the possibility of doing it for the studio version, for the album. My first thought was, where's my sheet music for it? And where are my sounds? Like, because I programmed the whole thing so many years ago. Probably, I think it was on a Roland Phantom keyboard. Of course, that keyboard is, I think, sitting up against a wall in my studio. It doesn't have, I don't know, even know where the USB stick is that might have those sounds. And I couldn't even find the music that I had arranged with the guys back then, because I had gotten a score for it. And then I kind of made some suggestions, and then we went in and started to jam on it and final determinations. But once I kind of sorted out, okay, I got the score, I'll go in the studio, I'll treat it differently. I took a more orchestrational kind of approach to it, as you heard. It's not really like a live, although who knows, maybe one day we'll try to figure out how to play it live again. But my approach really was, look, you know, I've got this amazing collection of instruments and software. Why don't I just like really treat it like an orchestration and do everything I can on top of the drums, bass, and guitar to make it kind of colorful and, you know, different. And so that was the fun that I had. It actually, as much as I was like almost dreading it because it was a big, you know, a lot of work, in a way that, you know, just the other stuff was not, the other composition and jamming was not, this is a whole big process. It turned out to be really fun, and had a good time, sat in my studio here at home, and I did my thing with that. I had my way with it, as they say. And really proud of it. I think it turned out great. Can't wait for like everybody to hear it.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's really the standout track for me. I love the album. It's a great album. I love that. I love hearing you playing with John Petrucci and Mike Portnoy and Tony Levin and in your free kind of playing way. That soared through the earlier Liquid Tension albums, and it's still there.
Oh, good. Glad you feel that way. Yeah, me too. I feel like it was just, there's something about that mix, you know, in that environment, in that headspace that is obviously works for us and works for a lot of people as far as the musical output and energy that, you know, kind of comes out of that.
Did you need to warm up to each other after 22 years, or did you just start?
We just walked in the room. Our techs were great. They basically had everything set up. We just turned on the machine, Pro Tools, and we said, okay, go. 1, 2, 3, 4, play. So we, you know, musicians, that's the way we, if anything, that's the way we kind of like, you know, warm up to each other. But we're already in it once it starts, so. We were just excited to be. I think the buildup of anticipation or excitement helped to make it happen, you know, the way that it did, kind of quickly and inspired.
I'm following you on Patreon. That's one of the best things to come out of last year, to get your live streams on Sundays and to get your chatter and your humor and whatnot. And sometimes I wonder, are you ever afraid of running dry?
As far as just not knowing what to play, like on a stream or something like that?
Yeah, or getting inspiration for a Dream Theater album, a Liquid Tension album. Oh, no, I've got nothing. What do you guys have?
That would be like, to me, that would be like waking up and not knowing how to speak. Like, you know, what do you mean? Like, this is, you know, in the sense that these are just musical words that come out as this emotions through the musical language. So I don't think I would ever run dry. I mean, I think if anything, maybe, you know, like a language. I mean, you always kind of want to learn new ways to express things. One is always interested in, you know, how to translate what's in your mind to what you can express to others, you know, with words or with music. So, you know, I guess especially with music, I'm interested always in new things, even more than my vocabulary, my speaking vocabulary. I'm more interested in what else can I express with music. So, you know, certain things work, right? And certain things, you know, certain things are like become part of my musical world. So when I play, oh, you can say, oh, that's Jordan. You know, that's him playing because I'm using my language. But of course, sometimes, you know, maybe I'll enter into another space and, you know, might be a little bit different, or, you know, you go, oh, that's a little bit unusual. But I like, you know, that's important to me as well. Running dry, no, that's not possible. You know, I would like to think that I wouldn't get too stuck on anything particular. Although, you know, I'm just kind of like even thinking out loud, I feel like, you know, over the years, because I've been always so interested in so many different styles, having studied classical music and playing lots of Broadway tunes and movie songs and, you know, everything, so many things that I feel like there's a lot to draw upon. So I guess that keeps me kind of like inspired and going. And just, hey, it's what I do.
We lost one of the great visionaries just a few days ago when Chicoria left us, I think.
Yeah.
Did you ever get to work with him?
I never worked with him. I met him a few times over the years. And he was, you know, I was never a big jazz guy. Fusion jazz was not ever. I went from classical, kind of went to progressive rock, electronic music. Not to say that I wasn't very aware or even inspired by, you know, Chick Corea and, you know, the electric band. And matter of fact, when I was making that transition out of Juilliard and kind of like deciding that I would go on this other path, one of the things that kind of led me there, if you will, is a Chick Corea album, because I had a teacher who was a very progressive, cool music teacher, and he played for me the Now He Sings, Now He Sobs album, which is, you know, an old classic. I mean, it's just his playing is just so amazing on that. And that totally, like, I was like, wow, like, I hadn't heard that kind of like music before, like that. And soon after that, I heard like Emerson, Lake and Palmer. I heard the Tarkus album, and those two things, kind of one that led to the other. First, the kind of chords, and almost like proggy, even though it was jazzy, fusiony, it was still an element of a proggy kind of thing in the Chick Corea stuff, which got my attention. And then, of course, you know, the ELP stuff was like, wow, okay, that's the power. You know, all that stuff was totally. When you take keyboards and you put them into, you know, mix them with rock energy and you have those kind of harmonies, I was like, I got to go down this path. This is cool. So that kind of helped to lead me on my way.
Do you ever feel like held back in Dream Theater, that you need to make a certain kind of music with Dream Theater, or does Dream Theater think they have to make a certain kind of music, or are there boundaries?
Yeah. You know, I've spoken about this before. Dream Theater, you know, this stylistically is very wide. There's a lot of things going on in Dream Theater. You know, like I can put a honky tonk thing in, I can throw a Latin section in, I can do all kinds of stuff. And Prague in itself is a mixture of styles. That said, you know, but Dream Theater is a very, very established entity. So that entity needs to be, you know, that there's a window of parameters kind of that is part of creating that. If you go too far away from it, it's not really Dream Theater. It could be something else. Like I was in the studio the other day, you know, I'm feeling great about the keyboard tracks. But I would like, you know, call up a sound that was more like a certain kind of synthesizer sound or whatever. And it sounds great. But then it's like, it's not Dream Theater though, you know, because it's just too far outside the prog metal sound. And of course, it's easy for me to go like, you know, whatever direction with sound. I mean, you know, you follow my world and what I'm in, the full extent of my sonic diversity is. So, yeah, it's easy for me to call up a sound and personally to like to love it, and then to go, even myself, I can go, but that's not really. I'll flag myself on something. I love that. That's so cool. But no, not for the Dream Theater album. So yeah, on that level, yeah, we're very open. We have a lot of ideas musically. It's, you know, very satisfying. But there are certain things because of the nature of the style and who the band is that certain things I'll save for like a solo album.
I was thinking that you're saving all that stuff for Wired for Madness Part 2, The Return of the Madness, something like that.
Mm. The Return of the Madness, yeah. The Return of the Mad King.
Exactly. When we talked for the Sweden Rock magazine about Wired for Madness a couple of years ago, I asked you humbly to do a tour and play those songs live because I love the album. Oh. And now I see you've booked a couple of gigs in like May or something like that.
Yeah, the piano things though, not Wired
for Madness. Oh, they're piano things. Okay.
Yeah, for me to play Wired for Madness, I probably told you even then, that was a studio album, totally. I'd need, you know, a couple other keyboard players and just a lot of backing, you know, or just use backing tracks. I mean, anything is possible, certainly. But hey, nowadays, I mean, now all we're doing is kind of like focusing on when and how Dream Theater will get back on the road. Like it just seems so such a challenge, like so far away. You know, you start thinking about that, like what's really happening out there, you know? When can a band like ours go on the road and tour in Europe and go from country to country, city to city? We'll have to kind of wait and see.
It seems far away right now.
Yeah, it seems really far away. Because even if one country kind of opens up, figures it out, what about the one that's right next to it? You know, and what are they going to require from us as tourists or as people doing business in the different countries? You know, like, I don't know. Luckily, you know, that for guys like us, you know, we also like being in the studio and, you know, there's a lot that we can do. You know, there's a lot of albums that can be made and we can keep ourselves busy. But the touring is a big part of the business.
Yeah, you know, yeah, sure, of course. And it's our chance to see you live. And we miss that, of course.
Of course. And, you know, the other thing that I was thinking about, the other perspective that I caught the other day when we were thinking about, you know, the business and everything, the fact that we can't tour, was that, okay, you know, so we can record, you know, we can be in the studio, we can do our recording, but think about what Spotify and all those kind of everything related to that has done to the finances of, you know, for musicians. I mean, it's really, really scary, because if you take away the touring, which is the main source of income nowadays, since, you know, the whole thing started with streaming and everything, and then that's all that's left. I mean, okay, you know, so then you say, okay, maybe for a band like Dream Theater that sells a lot of physical merchandise and, you know, maybe there's something still there, but what about most, you know, bands and musicians? It's very bad. It's really bad. Even though, like, I was talking to, I was online with a bunch of old friends, musician friends the other day, and one of the guys has done a lot of TV and film scoring. And he was saying that his numbers, when they come in from, what is it, ASCAP or BMI or whatever, they're much lower than they used to be. He's got this immense catalog of television shows and, you know, scores that he did. He's not making nearly the money that he used to make on his catalog. And I just felt that hit me. I was like, wow, that sucks. I even noticed in my own like BMI reports of all the, you know, times when music is played on radio and television and everything, it's definitely lower, you know? So it's, you know, I was like, whoa, what's going on? And then I went, oh shit, this is why. So
is that something that you negotiated? Or is that something you as a composer and a musician just have to live with?
Well, you know, personally, like I wouldn't have much control of what Spotify is doing or like, you know, Apple Music or, you know, any of them. That's why a lot of musicians are actually doing things on, what's it called, Bandcamp, I think.
Yeah.
The one where you actually ask for some money, like we did with the Dream Theater Christmas song. Mm-hmm. Which was a nice thing because it was really helpful to the crew. You know, we put out, Dream Theater put out a Christmas song to support our crew who's off the road. And we put it on Bandcamp. And that's the only place we really put it. And so it did make, you know, some money, which was a nice Christmas gift for the guys. But that's you know, the world that we're in right now. It's, mm-hmm. It sucks. It's not a fun thing to have to deal with. I'd even, you know, prefer to make music and let things flow, but the more that keep getting hit with these realities of what it really is, what's really going on. So, yeah.
You've teased us on Patreon with a couple of tracks from a forthcoming new Jordan Rudess album.
Yeah.
Are you done with that? How far in the process with that?
Yeah. So the music is done. It's all like mastered, ready to go. I even made a couple of videos, which I'm going to release one at a time pretty soon. It's all very, very kind of gentle, thoughtful, you know, music that I made focused around kind of an ambient piano concept. You heard some of the stuff. And I personally really love it. I just think that it's such a nice, gentle kind of music to offer everybody. It's going to be called A Chapter in Time. My friend Lucas is from Brazil, is working on a cover for it right now. It's not going to be a physical it's not going to be a physical release. It's only going to be virtual. And I was thinking maybe I'd put it on Bandcamp so I could even afford to pay the artist. You know, so yeah, but as soon as he's done with the cover, we'll definitely get it out. And so it's coming very soon. It's the next thing, you know, that'll come for me. Really excited about it. I think it's a really nice offering for our times. Yeah, done, ready to go, except for the, you know, what I need to visually present it to the world. So
sounds great. Since, as I said, the Sunday streams. That they hit Sweden at 6 o'clock in the evening on Sundays when you stream your little hour of piano playing, and that's a perfect thing for a Sunday evening to get the next week going. So
That's so nice. I'm thinking I'm going to do one today, actually, just to
I hope you do.
Awesome, thanks, man. Thanks.
We're done.
Appreciate it.
Okay, I've kept you long enough. As I've said, this has been a KISS podcast for about 5 years, and I'm trying to break the limits, break the boundaries of what it is, and start talking about some of my other fave bands. But it wouldn't be nice if I didn't have at least one KISS-related question. So I'm holding up the Liquid Tension Experiment CD number 2.
Right.
And when I open the booklet, there's a picture of you, all you guys in the studio. And right up here to the right of Mr. Tony Levin is Eric Carr's drum set, the KISS drummer Eric Carr, who passed away in 1991. That's his drums. Do you have any idea why they were storing them in the Millbrook Sound Studios in 1991?
I have no idea. I never knew that. Really? Wow. Yeah.
That's his drums. They were silver Mylar covered, and then the Japanese sign for Chikara, power, put on them. So that's his drums in the corner of Tony.
I never heard that. I never knew. You learn something new every day. And because your podcast is Kiss related, usually? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. It started out as a Kiss podcast, and after
seven and a half years
talking about Kiss, I wanted to expand my own horizon just a bit with my fave band. So I did one Alice Cooper episode, and I did one Dream Theater episode, and now I've got you. So it's really starting
to get... That's cool. Wow. Right. Okay. Well, okay. That's another dimension to my understanding. Yeah. And we have a Kiss drum set in a Liquid Tension picture.
Yeah. So feel free to take it up on the next band meeting and start discussing in small groups. Why do you have the Eric Carr drum set on?
Well, if anybody would know, it would be Portnoy. And I bet you for sure that he knows that it was there because he's so aware of these things. And if he doesn't, he'll be very interested in it.
Feel free to ask him.
I'm going to text him. I'll let you know what he says.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. For sure.
This has been a treat, Jordan, really a treat. I love talking to you. The first time you and I ever met was March 30th, 21 years ago in Copenhagen. You played the Scenes from a Memory album at Vega with Spock's beard opening. And since then, you and I, we've crossed paths a couple of times.
Sure.
And I really love just following what you're doing with all kinds of bands and all kinds of musical styles.
Thanks, Alex. This is really nice to talk to you too. And thanks for, following me on Patreon as well, which is very cool.
I hope everybody does that. It's as I said, it keeps my Sunday evenings alive.
Oh, great. That's so nice to hear. Well, hopefully I think I'll be able to get in here today and do a nice thing. So I'll think of you as the music is flowing out of my brain and fingers.
Thank you. Thank you so much for joining me, Jordan. And by the way, where do you think we'll be next time?
I think we'll be in the ocean.
Good evening.